Welcome back to Witch Church. It's your host, Mal. I'm a professional astrologer, tarot reader and teacher, and intuitive healer. And you're about to listen to the recording of Witch Church Live, a sermon that I give to my Instagram community every week. Feel free to catch the live show every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Central on IG Live, or listen to the recording right here on the podcast. This is a non-denominational weekly service for witches, astrology nerds, and anyone else who feels like they are being called to walk the spiritual path. At Witch Church Live, we talk all about the weekly astrological and tarot forecast, and really anything else that is channeled through me about the week ahead. Oh, and you'll probably hear about my random life updates and some rambly life stories mixed in as well. I hope that's okay. If this podcast brings some kind of value or joy to your life, be sure to leave me a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts. And feel free to send this podcast to a friend if you feel like they could benefit from listening. If you feel called, you can also support the production of this podcast and my other creations on Patreon for as little as $5 a month and get access to my secret YouTube channel with a bunch of extra astrology and tarot content. And if you would like me to hold space for you on your spiritual path, you can book an astrology session, tarot reading, or distance Reiki healing on my site, MalloryHasty.com. I would be honored to be your guide in some way. All of the links to my site and my social media are in the show notes. Have a magical week, my friends, and thank you so much for listening. So, how did we feel this past week with the Cancer new moon? Because I know Cancer energy can sometimes feel really heavy and maybe emotional purging vibes, if you will. I think that in the past, I have claimed that Cancer season always like destroys me emotionally. Maybe that's because I have prominent Cancer placements. But I was thinking, this past Cancer new moon, I don't know about you all, but it was like a really good new moon for me. I was like, I feel like refreshed, and I feel like it is like new year, new me kind of vibes. Like, and I was thinking about how this Cancer new moon is the first Cancer. I could be wrong about this. I could be making this up. But maybe the first Cancer new moon where it hasn't been opposed Saturn. Because if you think about it, 2021, 2020, we had Cancer season opposing Saturn and Capricorn. So I'm thinking because we don't have that Saturn opposition to Cancer season this year, and instead we have that square from Jupiter, right? That's kind of what we were talking about last week. There's like some kind of connection to Jupiter and Cancer season versus the past couple years of Cancer season being more connected to Saturn, right? So perhaps that is why I felt like I felt the vibes of the Cancer new moon vibes being a little bit more positive. Alex, you said I blocked 3 people's numbers. Amazing. And Liz, you said I came home from the forest, made amazing connections with the soul family, and got COVID. It's been a lot. Yeah, that's actually a really good description. Just like, it's been a lot. That resonates with me, this feeling of a lot of big emotions, a lot of big realizations, right? And Sam, you said, I got to see a kindred spirit the day after the new moon, and we talked about all our feelings. Okay, yes, yes. Brianna, you said, I got fired, and then a job offer with pay increase fee hours after this week. Wow. I want to know what's happening in your chart right now. That seems like a lot. But I am really glad that it seems like very quickly the universe aligned you with a more abundant job opportunity. And I think just even knowing you, you know, if you did get fired, I think that place was probably not aligned for you, since I think you're a very talented therapist and everything. So that's really interesting. So we can see, yeah, a lot of big shifts coming up. And remember last week we were talking about how the new moon in Cancer was square to Jupiter. And Jupiter squares to the moon can be a lot about big change, believing that things can change, believing that things can kind of manifest, and also welcoming the elements of the unexpected, or welcoming elements of our plans not going as planned, but going even better than we planned, you know, like, and I don't know about you guys, but I think this whole year, maybe it is a Jupiter in Pisces, Jupiter in Aries kind of thing. But, you know, when I've tried to make plans, the universe literally laughs at me. And then, like, 24 hours later, or like even 2 hours later, there's a new development that squashes the plan I was thinking about. You know, like, that has been such a theme lately, right? And Jess, you said, I missed the start, but you look so formal today. Oh, thank you. Everybody's liking the business lady vibes. I think it's because I'm teaching tarot later, so maybe I need to have like professor vibes. So yes, big changes, big cosmic comedy vibes, I think, with Jupiter in Aries. But today for Witch Church, I was actually kind of inspired by someone's tweet. I don't know them, but I did post their tweet in my stories just like less than 20 minutes ago. And they posted a picture of the Justice card, and the caption was, "The only Supreme Court I believe in," and it's like the Justice card. And that was tweeted by Durgadas A. Duriel. Again, I don't know them personally, but I just saw their tweet come up on my feed. And it was kind of the inspiration for today's Witch Church, because I've been kind of sitting with everything that has been happening with, you know, American politics and Roe versus Wade. And I didn't really say much about it last week because I was just sitting with it personally and marinating with it. I didn't feel called to really speak to it. And also, to be honest, I think public display of rage may be resonant to some folks, and I understand the sort of public display of rage actually being maybe important, but for me, in the past couple years, it just, I can't do it. Like, it doesn't resonate with me in the sense of, like, it's not that I'm not angry. It's not that I don't have feelings about such things, right? But I just don't resonate with the public display of rage. And if you do, I mean, that's beautiful. I think there's many different ways to react to our changing world, right? For me, it's just not the path. And I try to kind of sit with and marinate with certain things for a little bit longer so I can really kind of get in touch with what is being reflected back to me, right? Ellis, you said humans plan and God laughs is my theme for this year and perhaps my whole life. Yeah, literally. And Liz, you said, yeah, I saw that and really resonated with the Justice post. Totally, totally. And their tweet about the Justice card and saying this is the only Supreme Court I believe in, I love it. I love it. And this is something that we actually discuss in tarot class, how there's sort of a, there's a human understanding of the law, right? And then there's like a spiritual law, right? Which, you know, we've tried to, as humans, we've tried to understand. I think the Eastern perspective of karma and like the collection of energy or our actions collect being a collection of energy that we then later have to like burn off. That for me is like maybe the closest or most accurate human kind of description of what the this spiritual law actually is. But humans have attempted to understand what divine law is, right? For instance, in the, you know, as we've all kind of had thrown in our faces the past, you know, couple weeks, like the sort of Orthodox Christian view of divine law is very binary, right? It's like you're either going to heaven or going to hell, right? But if we think about it, that's only a human interpretation of what divine law really is, right? And who are we to declare, you know, that we know exactly how divine law works? And I think the two cards in the tarot, you know, the Wheel of Fortune and Justice, these are kind of the most mystical lessons in the tarot, because the Wheel of Fortune speaks to divine time, divine timing that perhaps humans can never completely understand because it's not within our consciousness. It's not something we can completely know, come to know on Earth. And justice speaks to the divine laws that we can attempt to understand and we can attempt to translate. However, when humans attempt to translate divine law, it is inherently flawed. You know, it's inherently flawed. Because we as humans, I mean, the Christians would say, we're sinners, we're all sinners. I would say, as humans, we're all here to learn lessons. We're not here to, like, necessarily, you know, become these like purified, holy creatures who have never done anything wrong. Like, in fact, I think partially our souls agree to come here because, you know, because we're meant to, you know, interact and maybe even not necessarily hurt others, but I think we're here to interact and learn from each other. And how would we do that if we were all like holy, pure beings, right, who never make a mistake or never, you know, whatever. So I was thinking about humans' shitty interpretation of what divine law really is, and really the patriarchy's shitty interpretation of what divine law is. it's interesting that like the patriarchy has taken the interpretation of the divine law to be like basically white men know what is best, right? Like that's kind of the patriarchy's interpretation of divine law. And I think there's kind of this universal shift right now where that law, right, is not, I think in the way we are as a human, I don't know, as a human species, how we're evolving, I think this sort of like hierarchical nature of how we're thinking is kind of dissipating. And that can be really scary for those who uphold the patriarchy, right? Because if there is no hierarchy, there's no patriarchy. But it's interesting because I think inherently, if we really tap into what divine law is, there really isn't a hierarchy, right? In the law that we have created, I mean, specifically if we're thinking from the Western American perspective, the laws that we have created are completely hierarchical, right? Completely favor the white privileged person. What's that book called? Jim Crow Laws? I forget who wrote it, or I forget the author. If you know it, put it below. But that whole book is about how the prison system in the United States is essentially slavery. It's 21st century slavery. So even that, you know, we see how we have created a law that is rooted in like this white man hierarchy. And again, how can spiritual law have a hierarchy? You know, like it just can't. It's just inherently inaccurate. Spiritual law is inherently equal. You know, the king or the servant, doesn't matter who you are in this lifetime. You've got the same spiritual laws, baby, right? Like you hurt someone and you know that's going to rack up your karma. You know, like that's what I've been kind of been thinking about lately. And this is me grappling with maybe like the greater spiritual lessons of just kind of the bullshit that's happening with at least the laws in America, right? And Lauren, you said there's a place for all of our gifts in the revolution. Rage is only one of those gifts. Yeah, that's beautiful, Lauren. I love that. Alex, you said here to make messes. Absolutely. And Jess, you said, I think people who relate to the tarot and astrology are very comfortable with symbolism. And I think the court is 100% unable to see any symbolism or mysticism in life. They read literally for comfort. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I would add, they read literally when it is, when it benefits them. Right? So we can read literally into what the Bible says about like women. I don't know. I haven't read the Bible since college, but we can read literally into a phrase in the Bible about how women are secondary to men. But then when we read into like, let's say the story of Abraham and God telling Abraham to kill his son, then that's a metaphor. Right? And then that can't apply. So it is really up to, it's very biased of when we choose to read literally into something versus when we choose to make it a metaphor. Oh, thanks, Alex. They said the book is called The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. Yeah. So that book, great justice card book, I think, in a lot of ways. So how can the justice card kind of provide us with some, I don't know if I want to say comfort, but maybe with some understanding about what we're all going through, how we're evolving as spiritual beings right now? Granted, I know this witch church
this week is a little out there. But I have been thinking sometimes these times of public outrage or these times of we're like looking at all of these atrocities, like these, you know, the school shooting in Texas. And then I was just at a taco place the other night and they had the news on in Spanish, and I'm like listening to the Spanish news, how like, you know, 51, you know, Mexican immigrants are found dead in like a huge truck. You know, it's just like, it's just atrocious. And sometimes I'm like, how do I deal with all of this stuff that we're seeing on a daily basis, and how do I make sense of it? And the justice card, I think, was just kind of coming to me this week, in the sense of it kind of brings me back to going back to this idea of spiritual law. You know, why did our souls come here during this time? That's one thing that I like to ground in when I'm feeling a little bit of despair about the world. The idea that I very much chose to come here during this time. I don't know how many of you believe in reincarnation or the idea that, you know, we have a sort of soul contract, in quotes, where, you know, before we choose to come here, we may agree about, you know, what we're going to experience in this lifetime, and we might, you know, really, our souls may very well purposefully choose to have us here during this moment, right? And that's divine law. I think that's divine law in a lot of ways. I think there's some cards, there's many cards that might speak to, like, our souls coming to this planet. In a way, I think justice speaks to, like, the karma of all of us being here together, alive, on this planet during this time. And that kind of feels like the message, like, being confident, I don't know if confident's the right word, or just rooting down in the sort of truth of your soul for some reason that maybe we can never understand, you know, the truth of your soul wanting to be incarnated in a body on this planet in 2021. And, you know, why is that? I don't know. Maybe going back to something that Lauren said about, like, how we all have our unique gifts, and, like, how do our gifts and how do our soul contracts and how do us as people fit in with, like, the storyline of this moment? I know these are really big questions, but maybe I don't know what's going on in the sky actually today. I think the moon just moved into Virgo, but I was thinking that is, that helps quell my despair about the world, I guess. Like, just even the thought of, okay, I know this place and this time is strange and cruel, but also, why would my soul want to come here during this time? You know, there's got to be a greater thing to that. So I think in a weird way, that's kind of the message of this week, maybe rooting into the divine law of why you are here during this time. And although we can easily make this time into a meme, I've done it. You know, I think I posted a meme a week ago about, like, wanting to be abducted by aliens and leave this planet, right? But and that's all funny and fine or whatever. I think we need comedy to get through life, but also really rooting this week into, like, why we are here, why our souls chose to witness this moment and almost being confident in, like, for some reason there is some part of us that maybe wanted or needed to view this moment, okay? Emily, you said thinking about the nodes in astrology with all of this. Yeah. Ooh, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, Emily, that's really good because the nodes, as you know, are a lot to do with our fate and our karma and what we're learning and what we're letting go of in this lifetime and all of that. And the patterns that we're repeating. I was talking about this with someone at Norwalk. I forget if it was you or not, Alex, but I was talking about how, like, all of these white Republican men who essentially hate women, you know, I'm thinking about their soul contracts. And I know it sounds kind of like woo-woo. Sounds woo-woo, spiritual, la-la of me to say. But I'm like, God, like, how many lifetimes have these people been doing this? Like, you know, were they, like, these people, here's the thing. I don't actually think that, like, if we do bad, quote-unquote, in our life, do we reincarnate next lifetime as a cockroach? I don't know. I don't think so. I think we keep reincarnating as a very similar thing, you know, especially if we do, quote unquote, bad. You know, if we're a legislator of the patriarchy, of upholding the patriarchy, I think those souls have been doing that for lifetimes and lifetimes. You know, when I visited the ancient pyramids, the Aztec pyramids, about an hour from Mexico City, the Teotihuacan pyramids. I have trouble saying that. You know, our tour guide was telling us about how, like, you know, the Aztecs would do, like, have human sacrifices, and I'm like, God, like, you know, that stuff, like, that king of the Aztecs is probably sitting in the Supreme Court right now and doing that same shit in a different way. And it's hard to kind of watch other souls not get it, you know, because, like, we're almost, like, waiting for these people to, like, wake up to the pattern that they have been perpetuating and repeating. And it's frustrating. And that's kind of where I kind of lose meaning, you know, like when we're trying to find the meaning in all of this chaos, it's like, God, what's the meaning of that? What's the meaning of all of us watching these other souls not understand, not evolve? You know, that's kind of where I lose it. But, Healing with Murray, you said, such an amazing perspective. Aw, I'm glad you think so. And Liz, you said, I legit had my first alien encounter in the forest and have an alien rock replica. Ooh, that's really cool, Liz. And Ellis, you said, it's totally fair to take a moment to cope. And I think that's where I am right now, especially during my social media break. I've been previously known to be an angry SJW, and now I'm allowing myself to be right now. Yes. And yeah, I have nothing against the social justice warriors. I think we need some, but I don't think we're all completely, yeah, I don't think we're meant to all work in that way. I don't think that's the only way to achieve justice. You know, I think we all need to be operating and doing different things, actually. And Jess, you said, are those kinds of people humans reincarnating or are they demons? And Sam, you said, it probably takes a few go-arounds to really get good at being so destructive. Yes, that's what I'm saying. And I will die on this rock, but I do think, who's the Chinese emperor who came up with the idea of the Great Wall. I think it's Xinhuang Ti. So he was like super obsessed with like being, figuring out how to be, alive forever. Like, he was super obsessed with finding some kind of, like, medicine or potion so he could be, like, infinitely alive. Like, he was literally convinced that somehow, some way, he wouldn't have to die. And then that Great Wall of China thing, he thought he was gonna, like, see the whole thing be completed, even though it took many different emperors to complete the Great Wall of China. But I will die on this rock. I really feel like the soul of that emperor and the soul of Trump are like the same soul. Cause isn't Trump like so obsessed with like being young and like kind of, I don't know, I, that's what I've always felt, but not to be one of those spiritual woo-woo practitioners who are like, ooh, you're George Washington from a past life. You know, like, I'm not trying to be like that, but I just always have these thoughts. And Emmy, you said it, maybe they keep reincarnating because they aren't learning their lessons. I think that's exactly it, you know. And I think that's kind of what the cycle of karma does. And I'm explaining this again in a very human way because we can never understand exactly how spiritual law works, but I really do think if we do not get the lesson, we have to do it again, you know. And that could be something too, some medicine for us in general as individuals. You know, no one is better than anybody else. You know, we all have these patterns that we're breaking. We all have these different lessons or different cycles that we've repeated before. And now, in this lifetime, we're figuring out, how do I not repeat this again? You know? And it's hard, because it's not like we are born with a book that says, okay, don't repeat this pattern again. It takes some kind of spiritual evolution to come to peace or come to realization with these patterns, right? And even, I mean, I'm sure there are patterns that I have not yet realized, right? Jess, you said, maybe the meaning is that we have to have relationship with them to turn their hearts. Existential this morning, LOL. As a Pisces, yes, that is what I kind of believe in some way. I know some other people, and again, I don't judge this perspective, and I don't necessarily think it's wrong. Like, you know, even wanting some of these people to like burn on the stake and die, like, I get it. Like, and there's a part of me that kind of wants that too. But then I think like, okay, if we just put Justice Kavanaugh or whatever, burn him on the stake, well, what's going to happen? He's going to come back again. He's not going anywhere. He's going to come back and do the same thing in a different body. Same with, like, the rhetoric, I don't mean to be getting, like, too political, but same with the rhetoric of, like, all right, like, stop talking with your, like, racist grandma or, like, your racist dad or whatever. Like, just cut him off. No, that makes no sense to me. That makes zero sense to me. Why would I do that? Because I'd rather just suffer through with them and just continually kind of be like, you know, continually have a discussion with them, even though that's an annoying pain in the ass. Like, I'm not just going to cut these people off because I don't want them to be running around being racist for another lifetime, you know? Like, if my grandma says something racist, I'm going to be like, grandma, like, can we talk about that for a second? Like, I'm not going to cut her off. That's not going to do anything, right? You know, this is all subjective experience, but you get what I'm saying here, right? Sam, you said also there's great power in being those of us who are learning to fight against these unjust systems and change for our country. Yeah. And we're all doing it, I think, in our own unique ways, right? And Ellis, you said connection, yes, but also reflection. Where are these egoic tendencies in us, and how are they very much human, just like us? We can connect to people as people without enabling them as well. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And thanks for saying that, Ellis. Yeah, because, again, yeah, we can see, like you said, yeah, we can see people as human, just as we are humans, with patterns and unhealthy cycles we may be repeating. We can empathize with that, but again, yeah, we don't want to enable the narcissist, or we don't want to enable the egoic maniac or whatever, because that could even be part of our karma. How many of us, the cycle that we are breaking isn't necessarily about us being like that, but it's about us maybe enabling the person with narcissistic tendencies or whatever. That could very much be a cycle. So we're really thinking about the cycles this week of our souls. I feel like we're really zooming out this week in a lot of ways. And I don't know if this witch church sermon really provides any medicine to your personal obstacles or, you know, personal challenges. You know, that's usually how I want to gear these conversations, but that was just kind of what was coming through this week. And I'll just have faith that, you know, for some reason, that is what needed to be discussed with you all. And maybe that will continue to marinate in some way, okay? So we'll let that marinate, that justice card, that divine law, thinking about our relationship with divine law this week. But my friends, I would love to pull some cards for you and what you've personally been thinking about lately. So if you have any questions, concerns, preguntas, as we call them in Spanish. Guys, I am really working on my Spanish. If I move here for an extended period of time, I'm definitely going to take some Spanish lessons. But I did order cappuccino with oat milk, breakfast sandwich to go this morning, all in Spanish, no problem. So we're making progress. A really difficult word for me to say in Spanish is the word for to go. Like if you're ordering your food to go, it's para llevar. I always mess it up and I'm like, how do you say this word? I feel like I'm not capable. That's the thing. Spanish, you have to roll your R's, and I cannot roll my R's. So we'll only ever be mediocre at Spanish, but we're working on it. Alexandra, you said, we love your reflection and analysis through our crazy times. You helped. Aw, thanks, Alexandra. And Emmy, you said, I needed this for sure. Been feeling very overwhelmed and disassociated. Definitely. And Jess, you said, could I have a card for next week? Anything you're hearing? Thank you. Yes, let's see here. Okay. A card for Jess. Ooh, okay, Jess, we've got the World in reversed. So, you know, as we've been discussing in tarot class, the order of the cards matter. And where does the world come in the sort of story of the Major Arcana? Well, it is the last card of the Major Arcana. So it does have to do with completing cycles and, you know, purging and coming into a new kind of a new reality in a lot of ways. But the world came out in reverse, and there could be a few things that go on with the world in reverse. We could be resistant to an ending, but that's not really what I'm getting here. Honestly, Jess, I'm kind of getting that the ending right now is maybe going very slowly, and that's okay. In a lot of ways, I feel like I've been in the world for 3 years, you know? Like, I feel like I'm only now just getting to the Fool after being in the world for, like, 3 years. But I'm thinking about, like, why some endings or why some completions of the cycle go slowly. Partially, it's because we're humans in meat suits. We have literal matter in front of us. Matter has to move in order for things to change, and that can take a long time, you know? Also, I think, going back to that Justice card, you know, there are some divine lessons, some divine laws that we may be realizing or coming to a realization with. I have a friend who moved back to her hometown for a while and didn't really want to move back, but she did because of pandemic problems. And where she really wanted to be living is where she used to live. But while she was back in her hometown, even though it was painful and it took a long time, you know, she had to do some really difficult boundary work with her parent, who was very abusive as when she was a kid. And literally, like, less than a month, it could have even been like a week or two, after she did this very difficult boundary work with her parent, the opportunity to move back to where she was living, it came up like that. And that was like a very world thing, because she had to, like, almost complete this cycle with her parent before she could actually, like, go into the new cycle and live where she wants to live permanently, right? To the point where the universe literally pulled her back to her hometown, you know, and was like, we need to complete up this cycle, you know? So that's why things can take a while. So I think in a weird way, just there's some patience needed. And also, like, there's some cycles that are just kind of naturally completing right now. And I think that's all okay. Liz, you said, I've had so many changes happen in my life. I am looking for further guidance on what to focus on. Ooh, King of Pentacles. Cool. Well, it reminds me, like, you can't grow without stability. Like, we can't grow without a stable foundation. And this kind of reminds me, Liz, of how much air you have in your chart, because you have a lot of Libra, Gemini, Aquarius kind of stuff. And that's like the beauty of being an air sign. You've got 100 different ideas bouncing around, you know, at all times. And they're beautiful, amazing, epic ideas. But then the hard part is, like, remembering, oh, I have to continue to build the literal foundation of all of this stuff. So I think focusing on your connection with the earth element, which you've been doing, you know, you just got back from your sacred kind of trip to the forest. But I think, yes, focusing on that earth element, focusing on foundation. And also, I'm getting this really strong message, like, spirit is like, there is no rush for any of your ideas to come to fruition, and those ideas will always be there. But right now, you have this really beautiful opportunity to continue to build the actual stable foundation that you will need. So don't feel like you have to act on these ideas right away. If the foundation is there for them to come to fruition, sure, do it. But otherwise, like, I think spirit is bringing you back to your foundation. And also bringing you back to your ability to create that foundation. Okay, so I think it's a really good sign. Thanks. Mucho gracias, Alexandra. Lauren, you said, I would love an anchor card for this week. I'm writing the conclusion to my book. Oh my gosh. Wow, this has been fast. I feel like this has been a fast process, Lauren. And you've been worried about the speed, but it feels fast to me. Four of Wands. Aw. Celebration is important. I think a closing ritual is important, ritualizing this ending, whether that's like a little ceremony or casting of a spell or, you know, giving an offering to nature or even like a ancestor. I don't know if you frequently visit any grave sites of ancestors or I don't know, like there's just some kind of ritual offering moment of gratitude that I think is coming in with this ending. And I really think this is like a celebration not only of what is to come with the actual publishing of this work, but it's also about celebrating all of the work that you have put in and also celebrating that like you did what you set out to do, you know, and that's really exciting. So congratulations, Lauren. Emmy, you said, can I have a card for career again? It's getting ridiculously overwhelming. Okay. Career guidance for Emmy. Oh yeah. Knight of Cups. Ooh. Yeah, Knight of Cups. So I think you've been working on this for like a really long time and making like really great progress with like acknowledging high sensitivities and acknowledging, you know, that you are an artist. And I think I even saw you post something on your stories the other day about how like claiming the title of artist or writer or poet or painter, it's important, right? Because like, I just think spirit is bringing you back to your identity outside of work, your identity being someone who is like this beautifully sensitive artistic soul, and just remembering that and remembering that you are not entirely your work stress. You know, you don't have to invest all of your emotional energy in your job. You know, you don't have to invest so much of your identity in this job. And know that your identity resides in places that are far more profound than this role at work. Okay. Hope that helps. Ellis, you said, can I get a card for coping with feeling stuck and impatient? Okay. All right. Stuck and impatient. Sounds like Saturn retrograde. That's actually funny. Seven of Pentacles, which is like the I'm stuck and impatient card. At some point when we talk about this in tarot class, I'll talk about this card as the pregnancy card, not in a literal way, but I got that from the Mother Peace tarot deck, which is a favorite tarot deck of mine. And in the Mother Peace deck, the Seven of Pentacles is a pregnant person. And I just think that speaks to the Seven of Pentacles in a really wise way, because the Seven of Pentacles says, like, you can't rush this. And if you are rushing it, you're kind of a fool. Because, like, how foolish would it be to, like,
literally be gestating a human in your body and be like, hey, homie, like, can we hurry this up? What if we did 3 months instead of 9 months? How would that be for you? You know, like, literally can't do it. There are just some cycles in life that literally cannot be rushed, right? So I think this card is bringing you back to not necessarily being patient, because that's not really good guidance. Like, what does that even mean? But maybe bringing you back to the gift of what this time is allowing for you. Like, the gift of this moment, what it is allowing you to do. That is powerful. Like, the doorway that you're creating in this moment. And that will kind of, I think, inherently bring you some more gratitude for the moment. And when we have gratitude for the sort of what we're being offered in this moment, that can kind of bring a natural sense of being patient. Okay. Alex, you said, can I get a card for the week? Putting more miles on the car and I'm nervous. Well, Mercury's still in Gemini, so maybe start your trip with a Mercury in Gemini election. Hang on, let me shuffle here. Okay. Alex, car, stuff, Four of Pentacles. Okay. I actually think that, like, this is what I'm getting. It's totally okay. I think, like, everything you're doing is fine, but just be mindful of too much spontaneity or too much recklessness. Especially maybe when it comes to what you're planning on doing and, like, just making sure that the plan makes sense. Like, a spontaneous thing to do would be to drive from New York to LA and then back to New York and then have to be back in Washington State in 2 weeks. You know, like, that would be like a reckless, spontaneous decision that would not be aligned with, you know, the resources that you have in the moment. So it's not to say live in a scarcity mindset, but live within your reason. Live within, is that the phrase? Live within reason? Live within the parameters of what you have right now, knowing that more abundance is coming and is arriving currently, but also, yeah, not making decisions that are aligned with, like, a fantasy life and making decisions aligned with, you know, the reality of what you have in front of you. I think that's the message here. Casey, you said, would love a card for the week if there is time. This has been an immensely helpful sermon. Oh, I'm so glad. Okay. Let's see. Casey. Ooh, okay. Casey, we've got the Hermit and the Nine of Swords. The Nine of Swords. This actually kind of gives me, like, overstimulated, highly sensitive person vibes. And I guess there could be two interpretations to this. You know, on the one hand, if we are going through a mentally challenging time, and we isolate ourselves, that isn't necessarily a great thing. So if that resonates, potentially, you know, if you feel like you've been isolating lately, you know, this week, it might actually be a good idea to make dinner plans with a friend that is nourishing and does not drain you, okay? But that could resonate. On the other hand, I'm kind of getting, like, overstimulation, maybe even at work, and maybe even needing some more time by yourself. I don't know when the last time is that you've kind of planned like a little weekend trip away for yourself. It could even be like a staycation in the nearest city where you just kind of like stay in a nice Airbnb or a hotel by yourself and just kind of like chill. Like, there could be some healthy escapism that is needed at this moment. And if you are overly investing, you know, your life and your identity into some work stress, I think the Hermit is a good card to remind you that you are a deeply spiritual being who is infinitely larger than just a job title, you know? So take that with a grain of salt, Casey. Take whatever resonates, but I think there could be some Hermit time that could really benefit you. Okay. Carrie, you said a card for the month ahead. Big things happening this month. My trans son is having top surgery. Okay. All right, Carrie, let's see here. I am sending great vibes to your son for his surgery. And we got the Five of Wands. So that kind of tells me that maybe because you mentioned your son, maybe this is a really emotionally loaded time period where, you know, I think any family surgery and any recovery period can be a time when, you know, emotions run high and frustration is possible. And recovery periods can be stressful, right? And I could imagine having top surgery is a big transition, not only physically, but also mentally and emotionally, because it's confirming and it can be a really happy time, but also maybe an emotional time. So I think really just making space for things to not be perfect. You know, I would say like there's a sense I'm tapping into of like walking on eggshells. Like if we know that, let's say your son is maybe emotionally a little up and down with what is happening in their life right now, and maybe there are certain family members who don't agree with their decision. Maybe you're supporting them, but others aren't. You know, all of this could create like a little walking on eggshell kind of landmine kind of situation. But I think the key to like keeping the peace might actually just be accepting that not everything's going to be perfect with this. And it's okay if there are little tiffs or challenges here or there, but just kind of rooting into like knowing that you, Carrie, as your son's mother and as your own person, you're kind of sitting in your truth, your spiritual truth, and just centering in on that, I think, is going to be helpful. Okay. Alexandra, you said, I would like a card for my trip to California. Need some guidance as to how to approach whatever the adventure brings.
I'm happy to hear that you're going to California, Alexandra, because I know that was kind of an up-in-the-air question here. So, guidance for Alexandra. Ooh, Eight of Cups. Look at that. You're doing some hiking. You're going into the water. There we go. I think this trip is going to be an emotional reset, a chance for you to really see your own life from the outside looking in. I want you to, from California vacation version of Alexandra, I want you to look at who you are in your daily life and really ask, like, you know, am I happy with who I am? Like, am I happy with how I'm feeling on a day-to-day basis? And if not, there could be a really big change that you are deciding on, right? So the Eight of Cups can be about change.
It can be walking away from something that was once really good and a point of celebration, but it also can be walking towards something that is even better. So I think this is going to be a very clarifying trip for you emotionally, and also clarifying about your life path, okay? So, hey, Heather, hola, tia Heather, and I'm glad that helps, Emmy. Alice, you said I have to appreciate Tarot's sense of humor, lol. And Alex, you said I'm leaving Tuesday after Mars and Mercury switch, lol. Okay. You know, we could work with it though, Alex. Don't worry. Venus is still in Gemini. So, Liz, you said, thank you so much for your guidance. You helped validate some things I've been thinking about, but also didn't consider. And Casey, you said, just submitted two big projects last week, definitely feeling the hermit. Okay, yes. Some hermit time is needed then, Casey. And Carrie, you said, thanks, Mal. Definitely needed to hear that. Things don't need to be perfect. Totally. They don't. And family drama, family karma is never going to be perfect, right? And sometimes in order to sort out family drama and karma, things have to have a little bit of friction, because maybe it's that friction that leads us into a greater sense of peace, right? So I think that's where I'm going to wrap things up, my friends, so I could do a little class organization before tarot class starts in about an hour and a half. But I do have some slots available in my July books for astrology or tarot. I have limited stuff open the first half of July. So if you're looking at my online schedule and things seem a little limited, yes, that is correct. But after July 15th, I'll have a lot more room in my schedule. So if you're wanting to book something specifically for later this month, you know where to find me. I would love to hold space for you if you need an update or a checkup or whatever it may be. And please send me some good vibes for my last few days in Mexico City. I leave on Tuesday, and I'm pretty sad about it, but I think all good things have to come to an end, and I think I've had some really important realizations while being here, so that's been really great. So yeah, send me good travel vibes, and I will likely see you next week, but I'll keep you guys updated, okay? Okay, friends, talk soon.